Do you ever feel like you have been guilty or that you've failed when you're trying to be an effective witness for Jesus? How many times have you been told that you need to be out there? You need to introduce your neighbors or your relatives or maybe even your acquaintances about Jesus, but you have to admit that you haven't been very successful at it. Sometimes you're not really sure what to say. Other times you find yourself wondering, is this a good time to say something? Maybe I'll say something wrong and I'll actually drive that person even farther away from God. Now understand this, we should all share our faith in some way. But we need to be careful so that we don't run ahead of the Lord. You see, instead of asking God to provide us the opportunities to share his love with someone, we sometimes want to do it our own way, and we kind of run off doing our own thing, if we even do anything at all. Today we're going to continue this series we're going through in Acts, you know, life in the Spirit, and we're going to look at Acts chapter 8, finish it up from verse 26 through verse 40. So if you have your Bibles, you may want to get there. We'll open it up and read it in just a few moments. We're going to be talking about following the Spirit's lead. See, the Bible tells us that we are God's fellow workers. We are in business with God. We take our orders from Him, and we simply follow what it is that He puts on our hearts to do. Today's message, it can be summed up with these words. The more that you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, the more God will use us, use you, to help others come to know Him. So what does Spirit-led evangelism look like? Well, if you have your Bibles open to Acts chapter 8, verse 26, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we will see what Spirit-led evangelism looks like. It reads like this, beginning at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Thank you. You may be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. What I'd like for us to do this morning is to look at four thoughts that we get from our scripture, which help to remind us to follow the Spirit's lead. And the very first thing is that God wants believers, He wants us to go and to share the good news. The book of Acts follows up on the emphasis that is found in the first four books of the New Testament. You know the Gospels? And that emphasis was that Jesus wanted his followers to take what they had received from him and go and share it with others. In Matthew chapter 28 at verse 19, it says, go and make disciples of all nations. In Mark 16, 15, it says, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. In Luke 24, verses 46 and 47, it says that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In John chapter 20, at verse 21, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. In Acts chapter 1, at verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, in Acts chapter 5, at verse 20, the angel of the Lord appears to the apostles, frees them from jail, and says to them, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life. Much of the book of Acts that we're going through, and we find that these first believers are doing just that, going out and telling people that God loves them, and he is offering them forgiveness and eternal life. In our scripture this morning, Philip is doing just that. He has just taken the good news to the Samaritans. They have found Jesus. He is their hope for life. And now Philip is listening to the Holy Spirit, and he is going to share the good news with an African Gentile who had somehow apparently converted to Judaism. Scripture tells us he was returning from worshiping at the temple. As we attempt to reach out to those who do not yet know Jesus, it would be good for us to remember this. Evangelism is God's idea. God cares more about lost people than we possibly could. That is why he stirs our hearts to care for them and to share the good news with them. If we can catch even just a glimpse of God's heart for lost people, the ones in our community, the ones around the world, then we would begin to see why he wants us to get out there and to start sharing his love with other people. And as the Lord did several times in the Bible, he tells Philip to go. It says, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. The implication that we get from this is that those who need to hear about Jesus, they probably won't come to us. We will need to find a way to enter into their world, to enter into where they are at and show them that they matter to God. Now, you might be encouraged to know that there is more than just one way to share the good news about Jesus. But one way that you can do that is you can invite people to church. The biggest single reason that newcomers give for coming to church is that someone invited them. Don't assume that they just don't want to come. Maybe they've been sitting there waiting for someone to invite them, somebody to ask them to join them. Get them here, ask them to join us for either a church service or maybe just one of the gatherings we have, you know, Spamorama or one of our other events. Get them here. Once they're here, they can experience God's presence. They can experience what a genuine Christian community looks like. Maybe you don't think that you could share the good news with someone, you know, not personally, right, one-on-one, but you can ask them to come to church. You could sit with them. Let them know that nobody here is going to embarrass them. We're not going to ask them to sign up for anything. We have a fairly relaxed dress code. You can come as you are. We all need to do our part in sharing God's love with other people in every way that we can. And as we purpose to do that, God will help us. However, he doesn't always give us all the details at once. He asks us to trust him and to obey what it is that he tells us to do. And that leads us to our second point, and that is that sometimes God leads us on a need-to-know basis. He will tell us what we need to know when we need to know it. Philip apparently didn't know what was going to happen when he started down that road to Gaza. He just knew that the Lord had spoken to him clearly, and that his responsibility was to be obedient and to go. So he left Samaria. He travels south from Jerusalem on that desert road from Gaza. Now, this route that he's taking would have been the less traveled route. The more popular route would have been to go straight west to the coastal plains, to the valley there, and then make his way down Lydia and join this caravan route that went from Egypt to Damascus. But the Lord, through his angel, was very, very specific about where Philip was supposed to go. In fact, there are some alternate translations that render the Greek word that we have here, south, as meaning midday. Going down from Jerusalem to Gaza would have already set the direction. And so the Greek word is mesembria. And it could mean at noon, or it could mean south. So going south at noon would have set the time and the direction that Philip was supposed to go. God told Philip everything that he needed to know. Imagine if Philip had said, "Oh, the desert road at noon? Are you crazy? My skin is fairly sensitive. I could burn out there. Maybe I'll just go early in the morning when it's cooler out." See, the angel didn't tell him why he was supposed to go. He just told him to get ready and go. And so Philip went. In verse 29, we see Philip getting another set of instructions from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Again, Philip obeyed, and God gave him the chance to share the good news with someone who was ready, somebody who was eager to hear it. Now, I've heard some people say that if God had told them everything that was ahead of them, laid the whole game plan out for them, it would have probably scared them to death. Our spiritual journey is a walk of faith. God wants us to trust him every step of the way. Sometimes he only gives us one step in front of us. And until we make that step, he doesn't give us the next. We need to learn to trust him, to obey him. And if we can learn to trust and obey God, what it is that he tells us to do, then he will lead us to people who need exactly what we have. Do you realize that God wants to use you? He wants to use your life experience, your personality. He wants to use who you are to reach specific people in your circle of influence. God cares enough about lost people to send someone like Philip out during the heat of the day into the desert to take living water to someone who was thirsty for God. See, God is faithful to speak to us, to prepare our hearts, and to prepare the hearts of those who he is sending us to. Our part is to listen and to obey. There's still more to our part. We must prepare ourselves to explain God's word clearly to others. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" What if Philip had not been a student of God's word? What if he had not studied the book of Isaiah with all of its prophecies? You know, the ones about Jesus and his coming? Suppose the answer would either be that God would have used somebody else, or maybe the Ethiopian eunuch would not have heard the gospel on that day. We don't really know. Only God knows what would have happened. But what we do know is this. Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. In the New Living Testament, at 1 Peter chapter 3, begin at verse 14, it says, "Do not be afraid and don't worry. Instead, you must worship Christ the Lord as Lord of your life. And if you are asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But you must do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak evil against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ." Always be ready to explain it. That means that we need to know God's word. We need to know the gospel message, and we need to be able to explain it clearly to others. Furthermore, we need to learn to explain it to people who may not know anything about the Bible. They may not know anything about God. And that's a challenge. But the Holy Spirit can help us if we ask Him. There are a couple simple things out there that can help us to share the gospel. There's this little booklet, this little tract, it's called The Four Spiritual Laws. And it will take you through, you go step by step through the book, and it will take you through how to share the gospel with somebody. There's another one out there called The Roman Road. And you start in the book, you basically just use the entire book of Romans, and you go through verse by verse, and you can lead someone to salvation. Child Evangelism Fellowship has a little puppet, a little thing that you put on there. There's five colors, and using the color, you can explain salvation to people. There are things out there that can help you, but we just need to know the people around us. See, missionaries, they often have this huge challenge of explaining the gospel to people who think differently than them. They may speak differently. They may even have a completely different value system. See, there are sometimes certain things that might deeply offend people in a certain culture. And so the missionaries have this challenge of studying those people, studying that culture, and finding out with God's help and the Spirit's leading how to best present the gospel to those people. We may need to do the same thing. Many of us here, even in America, we live in a culture that is far removed from the people who live around us. If you live your life based on the truth of God's word, you are bound to have a different way of seeing the world than those who do not yet know Jesus Christ. And I think that difference and that spread becomes farther and farther and greater each day and each year. It's not unspiritual for us to get to know more about the people around us. Paul made it a point to get to know who he was talking to when he went to share the gospel with them. When he shared the gospel with the people in Athens, he used ideas that were familiar to them. And he started there so that they would understand what he was talking about. And then he could move into other areas. We also need to find some common ground with people around us, and then start from that common ground, something that is familiar, and then try to work out from there, given it's something that is new or maybe strange to them. But whatever you do, you need to work at improving your knowledge, your communication skills, so that they can help you become more effective when you share the good news of forgiveness. And finally, God draws all people to himself through our obedience. In John chapter 12 at verse 32, Jesus says, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." Now, clearly this didn't happen while Jesus was hanging on the cross. However, it could never have happened without the cross. How would Jesus draw men and women, nations to himself? He would do it through his followers, through us. As his followers went around and they told others about the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, people from every tribe and every nation would come to know him. Now, Philip, he apparently did not know Jesus when Jesus walked the earth. However, he certainly came to know about him afterwards. He is actually chosen by the New Testament church to help lead the church. And as a follower of Jesus, Philip learned to obey the Lord. Many came to know Jesus through Philip's obedience. He had learned to follow the Spirit's lead and to go where the Spirit directed him, letting God work through him to save others. As we wrap it up this morning, we've been reminded that we, each one of us, need to follow the Spirit's lead. And I try to make it a point, if the Spirit leads you to something, then we should be faithful to honor that. When he speaks to our hearts about going somewhere or doing something, we need to listen, we need to obey. God wants us to be involved in going and sharing the good news with others. Sometimes he leads us one step at a time, asking us to trust him, and then more details will follow as we do. Part of our spiritual preparation is getting to know him through his word. Without the Bible, we lose our guidebook for life. Without the truth of God's word, we have no news to share. And no news is not good news. God wants us to prepare ourselves to explain clearly to people how they can access his love and his forgiveness. And he will draw people to himself through us if we would just learn to obey him and follow his lead, even sometimes when it doesn't make sense.